We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think we all are pretty much aware now that Iran fired ballistic missiles at military bases in Iraq, two different bases, where U.S. troops and coalition forces are housed. We're not hearing anything about casualties yet. We've had a couple of guests that have told us basically that Iran deliberately did not want to hurt anybody, but they did want to send a message by having these ballistic missiles land, or at least the payload land, on the air bases. So the question, of course, how does the U.S. respond to it? Iranian state TV called it Martyr Soleimani. A lot up in the air, and of course they had a terrible plane crash today in Iran. In Tehran, a Ukrainian commercial jet, a 737, a Boeing 737, but an 800, not a Max Air, crash. They have had trouble with that aircraft as well. So a lot going on. The president set to address the nation at 10 o'clock. We will have it for you here on WWL, or as soon as it happens, and of course we'll keep you updated throughout the day with the latest from CBS at the top and bottom of every hour. Daniel Erzbommer joins us, CEO of the Pelican Institute. Good morning, Daniel.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, sir. And you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You're quite welcome. Tell me about the Pelican Institute.
Sure. So the Pelican Institute is Louisiana's free market think tank. So our job is to look at the state, its public policy, its economics, and try to understand what are pathways to opportunity and human flourishing, and how do we, through policy and legislation and everything else, remove those barriers to human flourishing. And that's what we're all about.
All right, let me talk about the new Trump rule on food stamps. We talked to Danny Mintz just now. He said it would disproportionately hurt the poorest people in Louisiana. How does the Pelican Institute look at the new food stamp rules?
Yeah, you know, this follows really successful reform that's already been tracked and followed in Florida and some other states, and it works really well. What it says is, if you are an able-bodied adult without dependents between the ages of 18 and 49, that you, in order to receive food stamps, need to show that you're working 20 hours a week. What we've seen in other states is this gets people off of government dependency and into the dignity of a good quality job. It cycles people through food stamps faster. The folks who do come on end up moving off into a job faster. And we're seeing this in Florida. They tracked at a big longitudinal study tracking people who came out of it, and they entered over 1,000 different industries coming out of this program.
How are you defining, what did you say, a good job? Is that what you said?
That's right. The goal for everyone, right, is the dignity of a good quality job. An interesting fact, you know, this is I think, so indicative of some of our policies here in Louisiana. Even though we have fewer people working than we did 4 or 5 years ago, there are 86,000 unfilled jobs in Louisiana. And so we have a whole bunch of people who aren't working. We have a whole bunch of jobs who aren't filled. And most of these require only a high school or high school equivalent degree. It means that the policies in place, things like food stamps and Medicaid expansion, everything else, are unfortunately, encouraging people not to work. And things like work requirements and removing these waivers help people to get off of that dependency and back into the workforce.
Training is included as well as part of the requirement, right? 20 hours either has to be vocational training or working, or do I have that wrong?
That's correct. That's correct.
So do we have adequate training availability in the state to help people? I guess some people maybe by nature are lazy. I would think most people would prefer to have a job, and a job where they didn't even qualify for food stamps. But are there adequate training availabilities for people who legitimately want to make something of their lives?
You know, there are some. That's something we probably should be taking a look at, especially given this new policy. The other thing, you know, this isn't the focus of this conversation, but the other barrier to work are these burdensome occupational licensure regimes that we have. We have one of the most burdensome regimes on low-income professions of any state in the country. And these are barriers to getting people that, you know, require you to have permission from the government, particular training and a license. If we can remove some of those obstacles, that opens up even more than those jobs I talked about earlier.
Somebody texted in and said, how in the world can he, talking about you, Daniel, talk about a job making minimum wage, providing any dignity? And secondly, wouldn't the people that are working minimum wage be eligible for food stamps anyway, and would that amount change?
Yeah, so that's a really good point. And here's my answer to that. The pathway to a good quality job is a first job. Mm-hmm. And this is what often gets lost in minimum wage. And again, you can see this in the Florida data, and you can see this in other data, is that most people who took their first job coming off the food stamps issue in a fast food restaurant, almost all, it was like 90% of those within the first year moved on to another job. And so what we forget in the context of the minimum wage conversation is that minimum wage, you know, those are first jobs. And the higher the minimum wage and the more obstacles we put in place through licensure and other things, those are preventing people from getting their first job. And you can't get a better job. You can't move up the ladder until you get that first job. So absolutely, we're not talking about a minimum wage job as the answer to everything. But we've got to get people back in the workforce so that they gain experience, they gain time, and they can move up that ladder more quickly.
There are anomalies to every general statement, I guess. But I got a text here from somebody who said they're middle-aged, they lost their job. They're basically caught in a technology gap where it's going to be hard to get trained up, and by the time you do, it's going to, although illegal to discriminate on age, practically speaking, it's going to be hard to find somebody that'll either train you for a new job or whatever when you're in your mid-50s. Is there a part of the generation, the tail end of the baby boomers, that are going to get stuck maybe in a place betwixt and between where it's going to be hard for them to find work other than some type of minimum wage thing?
I'm really sympathetic to that. That's a challenge you're going to face in every way. And that's why these social safety nets exist. They are temporary programs to help people through those hard times. And yes, we have to be looking at transition programs and ways to help people get new skills and at least get in the workforce earning money. What we know is that people who are in the workforce, they are engaged in the community better. They are engaged in their families, and they're, again, moving up the ladder, even if it's not in the kind of industries we might hope everybody wants to train for and get into. But we've got to get people back into the workforce and not reliant for the long term that these programs exist to help people in temporary tough times. And it's worth pointing out, even in this new rule, there are still 14 parishes in Louisiana who would still qualify for this waiver, who would allow people to continue receiving food stamps without that 20-hour-a-week work requirement. The problem right now is we're gaming that waiver too much and leaving people who really do have an opportunity to find work stuck in the government dependents category.
But I guess what kind of jobs? It's easy to say, Daniel, and I'm not arguing with you. I'm just asking and trying to drill down a little bit. You have X amount of jobs that are available, but unemployment is, did you say, the highest?
We have fewer people working in Louisiana than we have in 5 or 6 years. Now, part of that is people are leaving the state altogether. But this is, I think this is such a great example of what we see across the country. Employment is booming, and the states who have instituted these work requirements, not only do we look at Florida, but we look at Mississippi and Arkansas. We can track those folks, and we're seeing more people employed and fewer job openings available, which means people are taking those jobs. In most states, there's still more job openings than there are people in the workforce in the state altogether.
One question I always have, and I'm going to start talking about math here, so you may want to put your hard hat on, Daniel, because when I do, it gets ugly. But in terms of of Venn diagrams. Okay, we got this circle with jobs and we have this circle with people unemployed. How much common area is there with the Venn diagrams, the intersection? And I guess what I'm saying, it's easy to say we have this many jobs, we have these many people not working, but are the people that are not working capable, qualified to get those jobs? Because if not, it's statistics, but it's not real.
Yeah, no, I absolutely hear that. And look, let me be clear. We're talking about real people here. And so it's easy to get lost in the sort of technocratic policy language. And it's important that we have a really thoughtful, which I appreciate your listeners' questions very much. But let me give you some statistics. Of the 86,000 jobs that are available in Louisiana right now, only 17% of those require a college degree, and over 80% of them require no previous experience. So I'm not suggesting it's easy. What I'm not saying is, you know, get off your lazy butt and go find a job. That's not it at all. But the issue is we've got to have policies that encourage that instead of discourage that. And that's government's job. At the end of the day, it's up to people to decide what their fate are. And it's up to people who have means and are able to help those who are in need. The government program should exist as a temporary safety net to help people get back on their feet, back into a job. I listened to the previous interview. Mm-hmm. I think Danny and his colleagues have really good intentions. I appreciate and I applaud that what they're trying to do. The fact is that, you know, we know what they say about good intentions. And unfortunately, what happens, what we see time and time again, is people get stuck in these cycles of dependency. And what we've seen every time they've been implemented is reform to these programs, work requirements like this, removing these waivers are the best ways to get people back to work, especially in a time like this where there are jobs available.
You know, you heard me talk about, if you were listening, the ribeye steaks, and I think that particular story is an urban myth because I've heard it from so many people who saw it. I can't believe it happened that many times. That being said, there is fraud and waste and abuse. So is there a way for you all to measure that? And the new rules, I don't think would do anything about that as much as it would try to encourage people to work.
Yeah, that's right. And look, I think Danny's right. The food stamp program is among – there's fraud in every program, and we see it. And, you know, you do your best to try to prevent that so the money's going to people who actually need it. I think this is actually one of the programs that has less fraud than others. I mean, we saw in Medicaid expansion where we weren't even checking incomes, and the fraud was just incredibly rampant. Hopefully that's being cracked down. We'll find out more soon. These programs aren't – the waiver removal isn't really aimed at fraud prevention. This is really aimed at a pathway to getting people back to work.
So this is primarily going to affect people that are getting SNAP, that are not working at all, or even it's not enough to look for work. You have to be in the, I guess, process of being trained for a job?
Trained for a job or at work. And let's be clear, this is a very defined population. These are people aged 18 to 49 who have no dependents and who are able-bodied. So this is not single parents. This is not individuals with disabilities. This is not the elderly. This is not kids. These are prime working age years, people who are able-bodied and have no dependents. That's the only audience this is targeted at.
Daniel, I think that's a great point you made and a good way to wrap this up. Plus, we're out of time. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Daniel Erspommer, CEO of the Pelican Institute, back in a flash.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.